win. And the theme verse is 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. And it reads, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win." And this week, we've talked about a lot of different topics. The first night, we start off with focus and how we need to be solely focused on Jesus as we're running this race. Another night, we talked about nutrition, and there was a spin on that to where our physical condition is important as our spiritual condition, and they kind of work together. And then yesterday, we talked about teamwork, how if we have teamwork, we'll be able to accomplish a lot more for God. And today, we're going to be having a class on commitment. And before we get going on this, I'm going to ask if Miles would lead us in a prayer.
Please bow. Dear Father in heaven, we come to you this morning praising you and worshiping you. We thank you for this wonderful morning. Please be with everyone today and guide us to the right path. And in your name we pray. Amen.
All right. So to get us on track for commitment and the theme Run to Win, I looked up one of the fastest runners in the world. And his name is Usain Bolt. He's a Jamaican sprinter and a three-time Olympic gold medalist. His nickname is Lightning Bolt because he holds the world record for the 100-meter and 200-meter sprints at 9.58 seconds and 19.19 seconds. So this guy is crazy fast. And unlike the typical compact sprinter who needs 45 to 48 strides, he can finish a race in only 40 to 41 strides. So he's got longer legs and he's kind of awkward, but he can run faster with only 40 to 41 strides. And I kind of want to look at his schedule real quick to see what kind of commitment that he has. He trains about 6 days a week, and his workout routine includes plyometric training, weightlifting, flexibility training, balance training. Some of his core exercises are weighted lunges, weighted squats, cable leg drives, step ups with barbells, bunny hops, frog leaps, ankle rolls, knee-high skips. So I don't even know what all those are, but if you just look at what he's committed himself to 6 days a week in order to train better, to run faster, to win a race. And then, as we talked about nutrition, this is crazy too. He eats about 6 daily meals consisting of 60% protein, 30% carbohydrates, and 10% fat. And he enjoys foods such as chicken, pork, fish, yams, and the only supplement he takes is vitamin C. But I say all that just to get you guys a little bit focused on this word commitment and what that means. And we're going to dissect that today. While a runner is committed, why is he committed to a schedule and nutrition? Well, of course, it's for the end prize. He wants to win the race. So he'll train himself so that he can win the race and beat these world records. And for us, we have a different race, of course. We have a spiritual race that we're running. And what I believe we need to be committed to is to God and His Word. God and His Word, because it is where He instructs us how to live for Him and how to get to the finish line. So as I sought out a good place in the Bible, which talks about a man who is committed to God's Word, I was led to Psalms 119. So if you would, please turn to Psalms 119. And we're going to spend the majority of our time there. Psalms 119 is a beautiful piece in the Bible. A lot of scholars look at it as very poetic. In fact, if you look, maybe your Bible says it's broken up in 8 scriptures at a time. It says Aleph, Beth, Gimel, where those are the Hebrew letters. And so if you were to be reading this in Hebrew, the first eight verses would all start with the Hebrew alphabet Aleph, and then so on and so on. So it's very poetic. But that's just a little bit of background of this book. And as we read through this, you'll see how deeply committed this man is to God's word. And it will come in many different forms. You'll see the law of the Lord, you'll see testimonies, precepts, judgments, statutes, commandments, mercies. And those are just a whole bunch of different ways to look at God's word. But as we read this, you'll see how he is committed to God's word. So it's not just going to be me today defining a godly commitment. I'm going to use you guys to help define godly commitment. And the questions that I want us to be able to answer today is, what does it mean to be committed to God's word? And how are we going to become committed to God's word? What and how? So as I've got a whole bunch of verses picked out here. We might not get through all of them, but that's okay. I'm going to ask and have someone read and then get your comments on what you think that passage talks about commitment. We're looking for characteristics of commitment. So the first verse we're going to look at is verse 30. Psalm 119 again. Psalm 119. All right, Psalm 119, verse 30. We'll start in 30. Tanner, would you like to read verse 30 for me, please?
I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me.
All right, I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. Again, ordinance is another way of looking at God's word. So I ask you, class, what do you see about this psalmist and his commitment to the ordinances of God? Cody?
One thing I always try to remember, which is, it's really hard to do, but if you take the word joy and write it vertically, Jesus, others, and yourself, that's the order we should always try and put our priorities and think of, you know, be with Jesus, love Jesus first, put others before ourselves, and then us last. So it says, I place your ordinance before me. That's just kind of, I guess that would be the how part of it is, we're putting God before ourselves, in essence.
Okay. So we'll get to how at the end of the class, but I liked what you said about joy. That's an amazing characteristic of a committed person. So also, is there any other things that you see about this?
There's a great action word in there.
Okay.
Did anybody else see it?
Yeah. The great action word, chosen.
Chosen.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay. So they make a pledge. And they choose. All right? Does a runner just do all these things because, you know, no, he has to make a choice to do this. So it starts off with a pledge. You have to make a pledge for yourself and you have to choose to run the race, and just like you have to choose to be in his word. Okay, so that's great. Now, we'll move on. Will someone read for me verse 20? Someone get verse 20, and someone get verse 174. Verse 20 and 174. Okay, verse 174.
How long be your salvation, O Lord, your hand, your long is my delight.
All right, my soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. What do you guys see there? What do you see as a characteristic of commitment in those verses?
A longing,
okay?
He longs for the scriptures. So another word, desire.
Isn't, as you read these, it's beautiful to see this kind of devotion, longing and desires for that. Does anyone see, this is what I was looking for, but you could read the same verse and come away with many things. Does anybody see anything else? Probably the wrong way to term that, but yeah, you see someone who's unselfish, and he's looking at the Lord, and it's about the Lord. It's not about me. It's about you, Lord. Okay, great. I'm glad that you saw that. Okay, how about verse 10? With my whole heart, everything about my heart, I've sought you. What do you guys see there about commitment, a godly commitment? It's not halfway. Okay? 100% devotion. Okay. He's going to have to have God's help later. Okay. So he needs, how do I put that? The source of his strength. He needs the strength of the Lord to help him. And he's able to get that from reading God's word. Okay. Let's move on. How about verse 62? I love this one.
At midnight, I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances.
All right. Now, let's read that again. At midnight, I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. Does that strike anyone as kind of weird or just out of the ordinary? I mean, how many of you, I mean, maybe a lot of you young people stay up until 12 o'clock, but me, you know, I go to bed 9 or 10, and it's like me, I would have to set an alarm to get up at 12 o'clock. Yeah, so this guy is getting up at midnight and praising God. That's just amazing devotion. So what do you guys see in this passage here that deals with commitment?
It's all the time. There's never a time when you walk
away. Absolutely. Time.
A good example.
Absolutely. Yes, so you see that runner that I talked about before, you definitely see how he devoted time. He practiced 6 days a week, and it said that 1 hour of it was devoted to just strength training alone and all the food he's eating six times a day. So commitment to something involves time. And here, he's waking up at midnight. I think that's crazy, but it's cool too. I want to have that kind of devotion. Do I have that word up there? Devotion. Yeah, okay, great. All right. So let's look at, if someone can turn to verse 11.
Verse 11.
And someone else turned to verse 72. And it, go ahead, sorry.
I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you.
Okay. 72.
The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver.
More precious than thousands of gold and silver pieces. What do you guys see in those two verses? Okay.
So, let's start up here so we can see it.
Value. This psalmist seems tremendous value in the Word of God, doesn't he? If you look at how many gold pieces, thousands of gold pieces were today. I don't know what the rate is today, but it's astronomical. And just his ordinances and his word is more precious than owning that much gold. To me, that's still a foreign idea. I'm still trying to come close to that idea of God's word and having a reverence for his word more precious than monetary, than money that helps us survive. And so it's...
I didn't write... Oh, yeah, value. Okay.
So there's tremendous value. How about verse 23?
Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statute.
Okay. What do you guys see there? Yeah, I think of, we've talked about LeBron James already, and you can just think of all the people that can't stand the guy, including myself, and you've got all these people talking bad about him, but he still goes out and he performs. He doesn't care what other people think. He's still going to go out there because he has commitment to his team, and I don't know if I can say that, but he has commitment. And he wants to get the ring, right? So he's going to try his hardest in order to get that. And so I guess the kind of word that I could use for that is perseverance.
And this will be hard. Seems like too many E's there. But
perseverance, that no matter what people are saying, we're still just going to move forward. We're still going to keep our commitment. All right, and we already hit on selflessness or an unselfish attitude, so we'll skip on by that. How about if someone turns to verse 13 and someone else gets verse 36?
With my lips, I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth.
Okay, and 36? Oh, I wrote the wrong verse there. So let's focus on verse 13. Sorry. With my lips, I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. What do you guys see there? This one you might have to dig a little.
This one's let everybody else know
about. Okay. Okay. And so the word I have for that is action. He has a committed person has to put what he knows into action. Just like the runner, he knows that it's going to take training and discipline, so he's going to put into action. And just like as we read from the Bible, we have all this great news, and so we're pushed to share this information, and so it causes us to action. And the other verse I had was fairly similar about how he was just telling princes and kings about it. So let's do just a couple more here. I hope this isn't redundant, and I hope that you see a tremendous reverence for God's word. We're trying to answer what kind of commitment are we to have, and how are we going to have that commitment? So I hope that this is helping us define a little bit. How about verse 6?
Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands.
I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. What do you think?
Putting others first, or putting Jesus first.
Okay.
If you're ashamed of something, it's because you don't. The reason you're ashamed of something is because you don't want others to find out about it, or you don't want others to know about it. But if you're always putting God or Jesus first, then you have no one else to answer to.
So what's the opposite of ashamed? Proud. Absolutely. So this psalmist is proud, and that's why he's able to have all these other characteristics, because he's proud about God's word. He's not ashamed. He's able to take it into action, tell others about it, and have perseverance and see its value because he's proud about it. There's something about God's word that makes him proud. I just think that's amazing. Well, I think that's all I had for this portion, but as you can see, there's plenty of lists. Okay. So that when you were saying all that, I thought of love. So as you read through Psalms 119, there's how many verses here? 176. They're all talking about a reverence to God's word. And it's just beautiful. And I encourage you to read through it at some point, because you'll just see. Who? Sir? Sorry.
I was just going to add focus. Okay. Eyes are fixed on the commandments. And that's one thing that you have to do in any walk and in any commitment. I mean, like a runner keeps his eye on the, the finish line, that's his goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To keep our eyes on Jesus, to keep us focused on the cross.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and that's definitely a characteristic of a committed person, is having focus, as we talked about a couple days ago. Yes?
One more thing, because sometimes as a new Christian, looking at the list of commandments is great, but it may be a little overwhelming. So
yeah.
I would add to this, committing some short-term goals, goals means that long-term goal.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes taking these pieces a step at a time and being patient with yourself and helping manage and meet that long-term goal.
Okay. Perfect. So let's move on. You brought me into my application. How? So as you see all these different characteristics, I personally can look at a lot of these and see that I'm not doing very well in some of these. And so it can be overwhelming. And something Glenn was talking about the other night is not lying to yourself. And so don't say you're going to read tons of the, like, 8 hours a day, because you're just gonna put yourself down. So the first application that I want to make is to make time to read God's word. And that, as I looked at this and I felt a need to be more committed to God's word, this one hits home to me the most, because I don't spend enough time in God's word. We take special time throughout our whole life to meet our physical needs, don't we? I looked online, and I'm sure you've heard this before, that it takes 3 days without water before you'll die. So the need for physical water is a need within 3 days, or else you will die. So what does that say about the spiritual drink that we have in God's Word. I don't know how many days it is, but I'm sure each one of you can see that if you're in a good schedule of reading and then it kind of dwindles, then you start to see more of that spiritual death that's happening, and you need to be reading that Word to revitalize you. And what?
Well, along with that time, I find that it's better to set up a specific time to dedicate it to that. Then you get into the habit; it becomes part of your routine when you have a specific time every day to do that.
So, just like Diane was saying, you have to set an attainable goal. You have to dedicate time, as Peter's saying, and it doesn't need to be anything extravagant, and you can keep on building upon that. The main thing I want to get from this is just spend time in God's Word, and each one of these will start to grow astronomically. And the second how... I could have thought of plenty, but then the board would have just been a mess. But two things I want to leave you with is dedicate time and re-evaluate its importance. Re-evaluate its importance. Now, what does that mean? I mean, we just read all these scriptures and we saw how much this psalmist revered God's Word and held it up to this high standard. And for myself, my view on the Bible sometimes doesn't meet up to these standards, and that will come with growth. But reevaluate its importance. We've seen from our readings today all of the benefits that you get from reading the Bible. So why is it so difficult to commit time to it? And that's the thing, is how. And just dedicate some time. You all have cell phones. Something I like to do is make an alarm. And the alarm will go off and say, read God's Word. And then, okay, great. And it just a little reminder. So maybe that's good for you young folk. But just dedicate time and reevaluate its importance. And then, Jen, you had a comment?
One of the things that I kept thinking about with all the scriptures we're reading and everything we're talking about, is you're going to make it personal. It can't be done for anybody else. You're going to do it for me. I have to do all these things personal so that I can do this. It has to be personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to make the pledge within yourself. It can't be your parents' faith that you're doing this for. It's your own faith in God. And you have to make that decision. I'm going to read the Bible. And if it starts off with 10 minutes a day and then moves to 20 minutes month down the road, just get in the Word. That is the most important thing that we can leave with. And, well, we have a little bit more time, so I'd like to see if there's any other discussion out of this.
I was just going to say, it's popular on Christian radio stations, well, the one I listen to, I guess, that says, give us 30 days. Don't listen to any other radio station than us for 30 days.
Okay.
What they're trying to do is, of course, set a habit.
Okay.
And you really do change the way you think, and, think the songs will pop into your head. Same thing with God's Word. It will just, dedicate it. 30 days, to
get
into God's Word, then
you'll
form that habit.
Yeah.
And then come up for a comment. If you're a runner, if you're doing something that's serving mentally, physically, I mean, how many times do you start a run and 10 minutes into it, you're like, oh, I just so want to quit right now. This is hard. Be patient. Break through that tough area. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't do it one day, go back to it the next day. It's okay. Each time you have a new start, each day is new for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a great comment.
I found it, okay, first thing in the morning, mm-hmm. get up, make coffee, go out and get the paper, but I don't read the paper, but I spent my time at work.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as I start doing something, the day takes over, I'm in control of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I have a demanding day necessarily. But if I'll do it the first thing, just, and I can't cap fire, read the sermon on the mount in the morning. That's before I read the new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not one cup of coffee for it, that's not a long time.
No.
But that's
and what a great way to start your morning, too, with the words of God. Absolutely. Johnny?
I was going to say, not just reading the Bible, but also talking to God.
Mm-hmm.
It's helpful to accomplish a lot of those goals that are out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Communicating with God, prayer. Yep. And something maybe a runner doesn't do as part of commitment, but pray. And I'm going to add that because I really like that. It's important to be in communication with God.
It might help also to find somebody who does what you want to do well and or pick a model.
Mm-hmm.
A good runner will probably have a hero that he or she would say, you know, I want to run as fast as that person
mm-hmm.
or run as long as that person.
Mm-hmm.
So find someone you can emulate that has the qualities you want
mm-hmm.
and then chase that.
Yeah, I want to be like Mike, right?
Also, a lot of people don't realize that no matter what you do, if you don't change your mind about what you're doing, then it has no difference. Like a lot of Christians, you see, they'll pray, they'll read the Bible, but they think that God's just trying to keep them from being happy with them. And if you still have that mindset about you thinking of sin as the curse, it's keeping you from everything God's wanting you to be, and it's making you go to hell, then you see it as being completely different.
Yeah, and as you see when you're saved, you know, you get this joy and this this assurance of your salvation. You don't have to fear that death, and that's part of that action that we were talking about, is that other people can have that same life that we share together.
Kind of boils down to a moment for me, like when I'm coming across all of these values or, you know, all these just words up here, you know, and I have to ask myself the question, well, how can I actually apply these, you know, whether it's dedication of time or reevaluating, you know, these are all forms of your character.
Mm-hmm.
Your character depicts whether or not you're going to do something or not do something. And you know, habitually, you continue to love someone over and over and over, there will come a point where you will just be loving. That will be part of your character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have a saying that I use with our kids, you know, you sow a thought and you reap an action.
Mm-hmm.
You sow an action and you reap a habit. You sow a habit and you reap a character.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to this idea of, like, the mindset and where it all begins. I think this is where it really gets into you personally, because you have to decide whether or not you want to be focused. You have to decide if you're proud about God's word, if you're going to take action about what He's asking you to do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That was good. Paul?
I think another aspect that is a spiritual life, the need for meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So following reading, prayer, which are still relatively active,
mm-hmm.
is that silence to just consider. For example, Jim, after you read something as profound as the Sermon on the Mount,
mm-hmm.
to take time to just
meditate,
mm-hmm. let that become part of you. That helps those others. It helps you do all those other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, Paul said, culturally we're not really set up to do this. You know, culturally we want to have about instant hot water thing on my sink, and just turn it like a hot water like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want things to happen. I want,
mm-hmm.
I want to be able to form a habit like that. I want to be able to get whatever. You know, I just did away with it, and I told people, you know, you gotta be willing to do the grunt work. Go out and
mm-hmm.
shovel rocks, you know, communicate. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, we're not culturally set to do that. We think you light a direct cigarette. Some of you aren't going to remember that commercial, but it turns springtime. and why is it that way?
Yeah, we want things and we want it now. And this isn't designed to be a burden. This word's key, time. It does take time. I've only been going to school for 6 months, and I can't. There's so much going into my brain. I can't sometimes even think. But I just know that just give it more time. Give it more time. Keep on devoting yourself. Hi, Natalie. Well, we're about out of time. We're gonna close off about 5 minutes early so we can get ready for worship this morning. But thank you so much for your commitment to this class and for helping out in defining what commitment means. It's my hope that as we leave, we have a better understanding of what it is to be committed to God's Word and hopefully a couple tools in order to help us to live up to that commitment. So thank you.
Thank you.